As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Go out and kick him with the boys and the gals.
Well, we'll have Bethany Mandel coming up a little bit later this hour. I love Bethany. She writes for the Deseret News. She is a homeschooling mother of five and the author of a book called Stolen Youth, How Radicals Are Erasing Innocence and Indoctrinating Our Children. But she's got some great thoughts on the Supreme Court hearing on the Maryland school case yesterday that would allow parents, or, you know, the reason this is going to the court, it would not allow parents to opt out their kids in taking part of some of the Alphabet Mafia stuff involving controversial books. So Bethany, coming up, plus we'll have an audio cut of the day. Right now, we welcome back to the show the Attorney General of Missouri, Andrew Bailey, back with us. How are you? It's been just a little bit. Hope things are well.
Hey, thanks for having me on, my friend. I appreciate it. All good here in sunny Jefferson City today.
Yeah, it's beautiful here as well, Andrew, so we do like the spring weather. But let me ask you about some of the cases that are in the news. So on Abrego Garcia, the Maryland father, Andrew, on the claims that due process did not exist in this guy's situation, to me, not being a lawyer, not being an attorney general, I see a lot of due process that took place with a guy that crossed into this country illegally. But even some conservative, you know, legal minds have criticized the administration over that particular move. What are your thoughts?
Look, this guy was properly removed from the United States. And there's a lot of facts that the mainstream media is ignoring here that I think are worth highlighting. The guy crossed the border illegally. He committed a criminal act to enter this country. He was under a final order of deportation. The government rescinded his protected legal status due to his gang ties. And let's not forget, in 2021, his wife had an order of protection against him, citing physical domestic abuse. So just because the Biden administration tolerated criminal aliens abusing their wives with gang ties hanging out in this country doesn't mean the Trump administration has to. And they issued that final order of removal and thus removed him. I would also point out that the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 allows the president, under his executive authority, to repel predatory incursions from foreign countries. There doesn't have to be a declared war. There just has to be a predatory invasion or predatory incursion, excuse me. And when you've got El Salvadoran or South American gang members who have coalesced around gang affiliations in this country or committing criminal acts, then the president owes them less due process to remove them. And in this instance, this individual received ample opportunity to remedy and correct his illegal immigration status and failed to do so.
So how do you interpret, because there's a lot of people on the left that are making this claim that I think is inaccurate, that Trump is just thwarting and ignoring the Supreme Court on this issue?
No, it's that the courts are ignoring executive authority in this issue. Look, there are three co-equal branches of government. This is a constitutional crisis of radical progressive activist judges making. They should butt out of the executive authority. They don't have any ability or constitutional authority or right to dictate foreign policy or immigration or national security issues any more than they have the right to set bombing targets in a time of war or set troop movements on the battlefield. That is the executive branch's authority, not the judicial branches. They are there under Article 3 to adjudicate individual cases and controversies. And look, at the end of the day, what the court is saying here is, hey, President Trump, go to this foreign country and bring this guy back. How can they order the president to do that? He's gone. He's in a foreign country, in a foreign country's prison. So that, like, I don't even know what remedy they could craft to fix the problem that they've created.
Well, and I think that the president of El Salvador pretty much said the same thing. He said, what do you want me to do, sneak in a terrorist to the United States?
Yeah, like the court is inviting further violations of the immigration code and imposing on the executive branch's ability to conduct foreign policy and diplomacy.
So then what do you make of there's another situation with the court over the weekend, and I don't know that this has gotten as much attention, but there was something that came down on early Saturday morning right before 1 a.m. It was an unsigned order from the court that was a response to an emergency request to prevent the removal of Venezuelan migrants. And they said the government is directed not to remove any member of the putative class of detainees from the United States until further order of this court. So what are we to make of that?
Well, again, this is why the courts should stay out of issues of national security and foreign policy, because that kind of emergency order that's unclear and that there's not like an open dialogue amongst policymakers to set a policy position that makes sense and is functional. It's just an unelected federal judge making a decision, and then the rest of the world is supposed to figure out how to implement that decision, and that can be unwieldy and difficult and complicated. And then the judges get more frustrated because they think that the parties aren't obeying their orders when their orders should have never issued like that in the first place. And I think that points to the complication when you have judges issuing those kind of equitable orders. Again, that's not adjudicating cases and controversies. That's demanding foreign policy being conducted in a certain manner. That's the exclusive province of the executive branch of government.
It's interesting the way, and you know this, the way that these things get manipulated. So the left wants to claim right now that, you know, because it's a common sense thing for the president and anyone else to say, you know, we really can't give court hearings to millions of people who have crossed over into our country illegally because we'd be here till the end of time, right? We're celebrating 250 years of our country. We'd be here for another 250 years if they tried to do that. So there's an effort to remove the people that were here illegally, and especially those who are criminals, but the Democrats want them as their poster child.
Well, I think there's also, I'm getting whiplash from the left's hypocrisy on the issue of judicial activism. Wasn't it just a couple of years ago, they bemoaned the federal judiciary, specifically the United States Supreme Court, for overturning Roe v. Wade and the Dobbs decision that merely said, look, there's no United States federal constitutionally protected right to murder children. And yet that was the worst thing that had ever happened. And this activist court upending the law. And yet here they're celebrating the court's invasion of the province of the executive branch. I mean, they can't have it both ways.
Did you have any time, kind of switching gears here, Andrew Bailey, our attorney general in Missouri, is here. Did you have time to listen or pay attention to some of the arguments from that Maryland schools case yesterday? I mentioned I'm going to cover it with Bethany here at the bottom of the hour, but that was rather fascinating, the exchanges in that.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is a fascinating issue. And here you see kind of the conflicting impulses that are protected by different rights in the United States Constitution. I can't wait to hear your next hour and the interview on this topic by someone who can further illuminate it. But I'll say this. I mean, at the end of the day, I think parental rights wins on this issue. And again, we're talking about an opt-out process. We're not talking about, removal of material or stomping out someone's First Amendment rights. We're just protecting kids from an individual's expression of rights that don't comport with the parents' values. And certainly the parents have a right to do that. You don't have a right to... Yeah, I got a right to speak. I don't have a right to force people to listen to.
Yeah, the problem is, and I understand the legal argument there, but I also understand even Elena Kagan kind of, drifted in this direction. This material, when you start looking at this material, and I'm pretty open-minded. I mentioned my best friend on the planet is gay. My daughter, who's 10, is aware of that. But this content is not appropriate for 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds, 7-year-olds. Beyond the topic itself, kids don't understand what you're saying in this moment. These pride parade people who want to take their kids to it, their kids don't really know what's going on. They don't understand it when they see a drag queen or a drag king. And now you got books for 4- and 5-year-olds where you're supposed to highlight those issues. It's just, I know the religious exemption part is the key and the cornerstone of the legal case, but it's not appropriate content for anyone. But that school district apparently thinks it is.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, look, why would you want to steal some young child's innocence by exposing them, sexualizing them, exposing them to human sexuality that they're not prepared to understand or talk about? You're stealing their youth from them, their childhood. Let them enjoy being kids. There's plenty of time adolescents and post-adolescents to have those adult conversations.
Absolutely. Especially when we're in a situation where we've had learning loss and all these other things in the aftermath of the pandemic. All right, let me ask you about a couple of things happening here in Missouri, including, did I see that there was a lawsuit that was dropped related to the state control takeover of the St. Louis Police Department?
Hey, look, that lawsuit, there is still a lawsuit pending from the city of St. Louis challenging the statute that provides for a state board of police commissioners. And again, it's not a state takeover because at the end of the day, the people that serve on the board have to come from the city of St. Louis, where the community's represented. But that lawsuit's ongoing. I think the court has, you know, threatened to dismiss it absent some showing that there's merit behind it. And so we're still watching that process play out and are prepared to intervene on behalf of defending the state statute, and we'll be prepared to do so.
Are you in any way, shape, or form at this point monitoring some of the actions from Gabe Gore's office? And the reason I ask that, we have a, you might be familiar with Elliot Davis, who was at Fox for a long time, and the You Paid For It segment. He's doing some independent investigative journalism. I had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he went on Facebook. That's where he does a lot of his content right now. He was quite critical of Gabe Gore in the office because he felt in his reporting like some of the things that were happening there were not too far off from what Kim was doing in that office. So do you have any kind of, you know, monitoring of that at this point? Or
hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Does that come as a surprise to you?
Yeah, you know, we stay vigilant in ensuring that the laws of the state of Missouri are going to be upheld. And I think the interesting case that touches on this, that just happened recently, was kind of over Christmas time, so I kind of missed, rising to the top of the news cycle. But when Sam Page tried to appoint the county prosecutor to replace Wesley Bell, who was elected to Congress, and Governor Parsons said, no, I have the statutory authority to do that, and certainly we defended Governor Parsons' state authority. And what the Court of Appeal said in that case was that, look, when you've got county prosecutors prosecuting the state criminal code, they are acting on behalf of the state of Missouri, but the counties are still, and cities are still, political subdivisions of the state. Remember the legal nature of the relationship between the states and the federal government as codified in our U.S. Constitution is different because the states preexisted the federal government. That's not true at the state level. Counties and cities are political subdivisions of the state and act only when the state allows them to, and that's certainly true with prosecutors enforcing the state criminal code. So it's something we're stay vigilant on. And again, there's so much has developed since I've been in office based on the removal of Kim Gardner and the lawsuit that we pushed there, the writ of quo warranto. And look, we're going to hold local officials who break the law or refuse to enforce the law accountable. I have not received any reports in my office.
That's good.
That Gabe Gore is not doing that, but certainly it's an issue across the state that we remain vigilant on.
And I was a little surprised by Elliot's reporting, and I've heard, you know, very positive things from that office. That's why I was kind of curious about what you knew about that. Anything that you're focusing on right now you want to get the word out on?
Yeah, look, we just promulgated a rule under our Consumer Protection Authority. It's the first of its kind in the nation, but we follow in the footprints of 19 other states that have passed similar statutes to require age verification on pornography websites. Again, this is a parental rights issue, similar to the opt-in issue with those smut books in the school libraries in Maryland. Same thing here. Look, if I go on a firearms website because I'm shopping for guns or ammunition, because of state laws in New York and California, I have to click whether or not I'm 18 years of age. Well, it should be the same thing with pornographic websites. Kids should be able to access this. We know kids are increasing their screen time and online presence, and we know that certain websites seek to attract children so they can harvest their individual data and then sell that data to advertisers. We want to protect against kids' exposure to pornography. We require age verification, not only on a device, but on the website itself. That's the first of its kind in the nation. We also require the websites to delete any data that's harvested from the end user to protect Missouri consumers and protect parents' rights to shepherd their children towards adulthood without exposure to this sort of material.
Well, I would say that that's pretty important. So are you telling me that, and I should probably know this, especially as the father of a 10-year-old, you're telling me that there's no age verification on some of these companies, or some do it and some don't, and is there a way to actually track the age verification? That's the part I'm a little confused on.
Yeah, look, different states have required age verification, but if the website is set up to where a user is only required to age verify within the confines of that jurisdiction, then like Missouri kids aren't protected. And so it's important for us to take action here in Missouri to ensure that the Missouri kids are protected as well. And so that will go into effect 90 days from now, and it will absolutely require both website and device age verification to protect kids and parental rights.
Awesome. Andrew Bailey, great to get you on here for the first time in a little while. Hope all is well with the family. It sounds like things are rocking and rolling in the office, and I really appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Hey, thank you, my friend. Likewise. Talk soon.
All right, take care. That's Andrew Bailey, the Attorney General of Missouri. Busy, busy, busy office. Let me kind of piggyback a little bit here on the Abrego Garcia situation, which, you know, if we're being honest here, it's kind of died down the last couple of days,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it has.
We'll see. Well, maybe it's because the Democrats finally got the polling, and they looked at the polling and said, oh, you know what? The majority, overwhelming majority of the people in the country don't think that we should be kind of, you know, going to bat here and falling on this hill, dying on this hill for a guy who's a gang member. But Stephen Miller is outstanding out there with the media, and he's not someone that you want to tangle with if you're in the legacy media, because he usually kind of owns you. But he keeps addressing this issue of due process, because that's what they say. You know, even Chris Van Hollen comes back from this trip. Members of Congress that went down there, they don't really care about their own constituents. They say, Sue, it doesn't matter. This guy, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter the facts. Nothing matters. The only thing that matters, we're not vouching for him. We're not standing up for him. We're just standing up for the Constitution, right? It's all about due process.
You have, in this case, illegal aliens from Venezuela sent here by Maduro, who are members of a foreign terrorist organization, Tren de Aragua, an organization that the intelligence community has found is operating at the direction of a hostile, adversarial foreign regime, carrying out criminal enterprises to destabilize the political system in the United States.
So he's addressing what I referred to with Andrew Bailey, because there was this court order over the weekend. And of course, the legacy media is all over this because they think the court's coming in here to do something to stop Trump finally. But Miller's explaining, look, this is pretty serious what we're trying to do here in deporting these Venezuelan gang members.
Those are the facts when it comes to TDA. So they're all illegal. They're all gang members. They're all foreign terrorists. And now we are being told that they cannot be expelled from our country without an extraordinary amount of individualized adjudication at the district court, circuit court, Supreme Court, up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah, so what they want is they want adjudication. They want more adjudication. They are never, ever, ever going to be satisfied, because that's not what this is about. I think Laura Ingraham made a great point with this congresswoman named Ansari on this.
If he comes back, let's say he is undeported, and the Democrats are happy about that. If he's undeported, he will be deported from the United States.
Yep.
That will make you miserable, correct? That'll set off a whole new firestorm,
Laura, because
what you care about is an illegal immigrant's rights to be here ad infinitum.
She is absolutely right about this. So think about it, because what will happen if he comes back, and I don't know if he's going to come back. He comes back, they present the evidence to the judge. The judge is like, yeah, there's a deportation order. He looks like he's a gang member. Another judge said that. We're going to kick him out. What's the reaction We got this due process, right, Sue?
Oh,
what is the reaction of Congresswoman Asari and Chris Van Hollen and others? They'll be set. They're not going to be celebrating the due process. Are they going to go out there and do a news conference in front of the Supreme Court and say, see, we got what we wanted to in this case? No, they're going to be real sad that the gang member left the country. It's baffling.
It is baffling.
This is a union
you
member,
don't want them deported.
A person
That's
with
the real
a U.S.
story.
Citizen,
right, go.
Wife. Yeah. This is a person who the Supreme Court has said needs to be facilitated back to the
we
United
got
States.
It.
That's a fact.
We got it.
Yeah, but that's not what they want. Come on. They're so transparent, aren't they? Gosh. Here we go. Bethany Mandel is coming up next. She is going to talk about this case that went before the Supreme Court yesterday, and she's really good on this topic.
Get more at 971talk.com.